Mark Bannon's organization instead of only a designated postal operator organization. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, it's a very good question. I know also, and I will recognize the strong partnership we have with the CC. We discuss always with them as well. It was particularly the case in preparing the Doha Postal Strategy. Of course, there is a need and a room for discussion, but still, we are in an intergovernmental organization. The Congress is a plenipotentiary body, and I do think it's important to, on the way to the Congress, also to discuss and try and find also some comprehension from our small members, which are developing countries or least developed countries, because of course we can understand the fact that they are afraid from time to time on the tempo this organization is going from the Bern perspective. We have two different things in Europe and some region of the world, separation, definitions of the service, regulatory authorities, and a new way of having the sector under the control is different, but in some area, and here also the Serbs have done a lot of work in helping regulatory comprehension in Africa and other type of region. Here there is really a necessity for people like you or like me that want this opening to discuss and to present to them this important way out. And it was what we did last week or the week before when traveling in the different region, at least at my level, to try and explain why the challenges are ahead of us, what the situation in Europe is also with this particular and financial crisis, what expectations are from the sector and from the private part of the sector in Europe. And once again, the Congress is a unique opportunity for all the delegation also to talk and to point out these kind of things for the UPU. The Congress will decide on the structure of the CA, the structure of the POC, then the General Director will decide on the structure of the IB, and then the CA will once again target the different type of things through budget or through creation, abolition of position. So meaning the power here is on the end of the different states, and it's also to the different delegation here today to, if there is a need for more clear separation, to say so.
Yeah, one last question from John, then I think we should continue.
It's not actually a question, it's more an invitation to make a certain statement. It was interesting that Pascal attended his first international meeting in Dublin, because I attended my first international meeting in Bern. It was slightly longer, it was about 25 years ago on St. Patrick's Day, but that's a different story. There's another similarity between Switzerland and Ireland, and that is that we're both neutral countries. And this is very important, because one of the key achievements of the UPU over its 138 years existence has been that it has united the nations of the world in ensuring interoperability of posts, so that even through two world wars and scores of minor conflicts, generally people are still able to communicate with one another, and there's provisions for prisoner of war parcels and all that. And now, of course, it's not just political tensions that the UPU has got to deal with. It's got these tensions about a much wider family. There's a war, if you like, between electronic communications and the physical medium, and all those have got to be sorted out. Would you like to say something about your credentials as to how you foresee your sort of peacekeeping role in that very wider sense?
Thank you for this question, of course. Important is to be balanced. Once again, I just remember you the role and the different type of partners that we have at the UPU level. We have least developed countries, we have very industrialized countries. But we have also other type of situation and maybe political questions to manage at the highest level of this organization. Very sensitive issue because there are political issues, or very sensitive issues because there are needs. And here, of course, for a Swiss like me, it's easy because from the beginning of our lives, we are used to make compromise. We have a unique democratic system, and it's important for us to try and find a way to make people on the table. We have numerous of initiatives in Switzerland, in Geneva, and in other organizations that where we can see what Switzerland, even if it's a very small country of this world, can put his effort to manage and find a solution. And here I do think, and we had at the UPU level recent example, that it would have been good to try and find solutions in a positive manner, in a negotiate manner, in an informal manner. And I can just say to you, we have presently one problem to manage, and we are doing our best to find solutions because you are paying officials to do their best to find solutions and not to create more problems. This is how I see my role. Of course, I mentioned in my speech, it is important for a DDG to prepare the DG, but also to protect and maybe to discuss and see how we can manage different problems we can face with countries or with others.
Okay, thank you. As we have all heard, we have a very committed candidate from Europe, and I would like to thank Pascal Clivas for having shared his thoughts on a possible future as a Deputy Director General with us. Now I think that we should continue with the rest of our forum. So if you please take one of these seats, and then I would like to ask Etienne de France, John Hearn, Robert Pochmarski, and Dejan Djurovic to come up and find a chair among us. Thank you. As we have said already several times, this is kind of an ad hoc solution for the forum, since our initial plans were not possible to perform as we had thought of it. We have had one part of it in the way we intended, but for the rest of this forum, we would like to highlight some of the issues that will be discussed at the coming Congress. We do have a UPU working group which had a meeting in Estoril, Portugal, last week. And this group is working in more detail with all the different proposals it has not been our intention to go through a certain number of proposals to discuss them in detail and have a vote at this forum. The intention is more to highlight some of the issues where there might be some problems, where we know that there is not necessarily a common agreement among all the countries. So we have given these participants a short list to look into and try to contribute to the discussion. Just to reiterate, you see in front of you Dejan Djurović.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. From Serbia, Robert Pochmarski from the European Commission, John Hearn from Ireland, not representing many more than himself, since he is supposed to be retired. Pascal Clivas, who is also representing himself in this capacity, not the International Bureau, but as an expert of postal affairs over many, many years. And Etienne de France from Belgium, whom you also all know and has a very long experience in UPU affairs. So the first item that we were thinking about is one of the most difficult ones, terminal dues. For many, many years, there has been very lively debates and strong discussions concerning the development of terminal dues system within UPU. Also, in this cycle, there has been extensive discussions and there has been reached a set of solutions which was adopted by the Postal Operations Council and eventually Council of Administration to be put forward to the Congress. This is has been said that it is a compromise of what is possible to achieve. Nevertheless, we did hear during the last CA session that several developing countries were not quite satisfied with the different results in this terminal dues system and would like perhaps to present some amendments before the Congress. We also heard that some developed countries, among them the Nordic countries, would also like to present some amendments. The last item I would then talk about is the presentation from the Nordic countries. There is not an official proposal on the table yet, but their intention will be to take out the so-called caps and floors of the proposal concerning the target system, of so-called target 1.1 system. Then I would like to ask the participants here if they have any views on how is it possible to develop the terminal dues system of UPU. Does it go in the right direction? Does it go fast enough, etc.? I would perhaps like to ask the now neutral John Hearn to start with.
Thank you for the poison chalice. Can I just say something that might help? Because I think you've got to separate the issue of UPU terminal dues from the arrangements that exist within the developed countries of the European Union and how they settle with one another. Because I think they're two separate issues and there's two separate mechanisms. If we look back over the history of the UPU, it was an agreement that was originally between governments governing the interoperability of services they offered to their citizens. And there were state monopolies in every country, and there was this assumption that for every letter that was sent, there was one that was received, so you didn't need to do any accounting. That broke down in 1969 when they started a very simple recompensing system of 50 pence a kilo or something like that. And ultimately, of course, that was abused as other players came into the market, and we had this system of re-mail and the like. What we have to understand is that 60% of all international mail revenues occur within a limited number of countries in Western Europe. Another 20-25% originates in North America. And then in the all of Asia Pacific, Latin America, Eastern Europe, everywhere else, Africa, you have got a very small percentage of revenues. And to try and have a system that covers this very core area where costs are much higher, going through a UPU system is just probably not practical. The UPU system is the system that enables everyone to exchange mail with one another on an equitable basis. And there is a political issue that has to be made, I think, because can we as Europeans expect very poor countries to pay a very high price, you know, to get their mail delivered in Europe? And I think the answer to that is probably it would be unjust to ask them to do it. So then the next issue is how do you finance that short that shortfall? And it seems to me that that is something that we should charge them a price that they can pay, but at the end of the day, the postal operator has got to be recompensed somehow for the difference, and it's a state aid. Within the EU, again, effectively, everyone signs signs the protocol at the end of the day that says European law takes primacy over any provision in the directive, and there is this Article 13 of the Postal Directive that says within the EU you've got to have cost-orientated terminal dues. So that means bilateral or multilateral agreements that comply with that principle. What should be said is that there are quite a number of members of the EU, who can still comply, fit in with the UPU rules and still comply with that. It is only really the high volume, high cost countries where there is a problem, and that is best dealt with by bilateral or multilateral agreements outside of the UPU framework. And once you start to recognize that principle, I think it becomes much easier to deal with the UPU issue. And I think probably one of the simplest things to do is just to remove that cap, because that's a very simple way without changing it. But you've got to be aware that even within EU, once you start using averages, by definition, for everyone who is paying too much because their costs are less than the average, there's a country the other way around. And using averages is not really a very good idea. It's much better to move to a country-specific rate. But I think once you separate this EU problem, where you've got high costs, high volumes of mail, and take it out of the equation, it becomes much easier to deal with the system for everyone else in a fair and equitable way. And I think it's also fair to say that this liberalization model is really confined to Europe and Latin America. It doesn't exist in America. There's still a monopoly over delivery, and looks like there always will be. And really, I think apart from New Zealand, there's no other country that actually is going down the liberalization route. So you can find a solution that works from a UPU context. But what is important as well to remember is that only about five countries, if you take any country here, five countries will account for the majority of international mail. And certainly if I look at Ireland, those five countries are all within the EU. We send relatively little or receive relatively little mail from other than those five countries. So as with everything, taking air travel, if we want to get to Niger or one of the smaller countries in Africa, it's very difficult for us to find a flight from Ireland to anywhere in Africa. So you have to have interlining, and you tend to pay a lot of money for that. And it's the same way if you want to send a letter from Serbia to Croatia or wherever, that's a relatively high flow of mail and therefore relatively cheap. But if you want to send it to somewhere like Africa, it's you can't have a bilateral agreement. You can't actually probably even send it directly. You need the framework of the UPU, and that's its biggest benefit. But there has to be a price that reflects that. And I think if you once you try to separate your big flows away from your minor flows, you can help. Sorry to go on, but I hope that will provoke debate, which I presume is why I'm here.
Yeah, thank you for that very interesting contribution. I do have a slight suspicion that we won't cover all the issues that I have on my list. I would like to ask Dejan, perhaps, if you have any input to this item.
I will try again to get my opportunity to speak on my language, because it is a very difficult question. So sorry, because you must put these earrings on your head.
I must say that I agree with Mr. Hearn that his approach is really a very good one. I will mention a situation in Serbia. Serbia has less and less ingoing mail, ingoing international communications, and I believe that the entire region had different situations in the past. There we used to have some earnings from inbound terminal dues. I believe that we should find some kind of solution, of harmonized solution, so everybody would at least to a certain extent be satisfied. On the other hand, Serbia is on the road to the EU. We are currently... we have provided... the cost-oriented tariffs, and we have prepared it through a highly relevant institution in Serbia. Methodology involves future prices for the public postal operator to be cost-based, and they will be adopted by the government in the part for a reserved postal service, and the managing board and the government will decide on prices for universal postal service. What John mentioned gives me an idea that we in the region perhaps could organize our own union and perhaps conclude a bilateral agreement between former Yugoslav countries and Romania, Bulgaria, Albania to have our own terminal dues and costs, because the volumes within us are highest. This will be a very interesting discussion, I believe, when it comes to terminal dues. This is all I can say for the beginning, and perhaps later.
Thank you for that also interesting contribution. remains then to be seen how other countries might react to
the proposals that are on the table. I wonder, does the lawyer Etienne de France from Belgium have any views on this terminal use issue? Do you think that it will be possible to reach some kind of agreement that a lot of countries can accept during the Congress?
Merci, Monsieur le Modérateur. Concernant d'éventuelles conventions acceptables.
Hvala vam. With regard to the acceptable agreement that everybody would find acceptable, I believe that it is a difficult thing to have it for the entire UPU system. For all the members, it is very difficult for me to discuss this topic as somebody who is actually engaged in procedures and legislation in the area. That is what I deal with. Usually we will mention our discussions from previous congresses. I would like to make a summary of all our conversations and everything that has been done with regard to the cycle that we mentioned in Geneva. We need to discuss all the solutions offered in Geneva with regard to terminal dues. It would be perhaps too long to go into every detail, but we need to see what the attitudes of the countries will be with regard to this target system. In Geneva, we adopted a solution with regard to terminal dues, but there are certain indicators based on various categories. There is some kind of classification of countries with regard to the level of development of individual countries. But with regard to this classification of the countries, if you remember, if you regularly attended the meetings of the managing board, and even if you haven't, I will say a few words. You perhaps know that there are some other countries there, Arab countries, and we can say that with regard to classification of the countries, I would like to say that in Asia or Latin America, there are discussions in some countries which are unfavorable for your classification systems, and I hope that we will discuss this further in the next congresses. This will be a highly sensitive topic, and we need to provide further proposals how to improve things and also how to be in accordance with the conclusions from Geneva. If we talk about the target system, we need to see that all countries by 2017 are able to accept the target systems. At the latest meeting of the managing board or steering committee, a number of countries from Asia Pacific accepted their acceptance. They expressed their acceptance for the provisional period, interim period, before establishment of the target system that is yet to be accepted. The proposals are ready at this time, and we need not be fast, but it has to be done. So if we are to decide on deadlines, it may affect our work because serious discussions